denouncing a report from NBC that he was close to leaving the Trump administration. The NBC report claimed that Tillerson had to be convinced to stay in his position. Tillerson said the report is simply untrue. USA Radio News.
Argonne State, Georgia Southern is the only game that matters tonight in Vegas, and Brandon Lang has your winner absolutely free. Who's Brandon Lang? He's the guy whose legendary career as a professional sports handicapper was immortalized by Hollywood in the movie Two for the Money, starring Al Pacino and Matthew McConaughey. Oscar winner McConaughey played Lang, and you know, Hollywood only makes movies about winners. Tonight, Brandon Lang can make you a winner with his Sun Belt Game of the Year on Arkansas State, Georgia Southern, and you can get it absolutely free by texting the word LOCK, L-O-C-K, to 30838. That's right, absolutely free. No salesman, no hassles, no 800 numbers, no recorded messages. Just text the word LOCK, L-O-C-K, to 30838 to get this winner absolutely free, no strings attached. You get the winner, backed by Brandon's in-depth analysis, for free. Just text the word LOCK, L-O-C-K, right now, to 30838 to win tonight for free.
Testimony continues in the trial of a New Jersey senator accused of corruption.
Former Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius told the court about a meeting she had with Menendez over Medicare's payment policy. Prosecutors say Menendez was trying to help a Florida eye doctor who was facing millions in fines for overbilling Medicare. Menendez is accused of accepting free travel and other gifts from the doctor in exchange for political favors. Menendez denies any wrongdoing.
Equifax CEO Richard Smith back on Capitol Hill for his second day of testimony. Smith appearing before the Senate Banking Committee and later the Judiciary Committee to testify about the breach that compromised the personal information of 145 million people. He apologized yesterday to the House Energy and Commerce Committee. He said he accepted full responsibility for the breach. Today, Smith attributed the breach to a combination of human and technological error. He said all of those errors have been discovered and have also been corrected. Get more news online at usaradio.com.
Get the best night's sleep of your life with a MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com, enter promo code USA, and you'll get 50% off two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows. MyPillow.com, promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175. 100% machine washable, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. How can you lose? Go to MyPillow.com, promo code USA.
The convicted killer who was the subject of the Netflix series Making a Murderer not getting a new trial.
The docuseries cast doubt on the guilt of convict.
We offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Some mixed messages from the White House. Treasury Chief Steven Mnuchin was busy on Sunday trying to sell President Trump's idea of working with Russia on cybersecurity.
I think this is a very important step forward, that what we want to make sure is that we coordinate with Russia, that we're focused on cybersecurity together.
Yet hours later, the president himself downplays the whole idea of the U.S. having a cybersecurity partnership with Russia. Mark Mayfield with that part of the story.
On Twitter, the president said the fact that he and Russian President Vladimir Putin talked about creating a cybersecurity unit doesn't mean he thinks it can happen. He added, it can't, but a ceasefire can and did.
President Trump referring to the Syrian ceasefire that was brokered with help from Russia. Fighting has stopped in three southern Syrian provinces for now. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
Hi, I'm Wayne Alaroot for pre-1933.com. I've been the single biggest BBB, backer, believer, and buyer of gold for over 15 years. But now I've found a better way to buy gold. I found the Uber of gold. This company pre-
Take pictures and use precision instruments to see just what we can learn about that thing. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The time is 9:06. It's time for Hunt Chamber Radio Weather. 71 degrees right now in Flemington. It's overcast skies. We've got a 20% chance of precipitation for today. It is July 10th. It's Monday, 2017. Mostly sunny with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs in the lower 80s. South winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance of rain will be 20%. Mostly cloudy with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight. Warm with lows in the upper 60s. South winds around 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a chance of thunderstorms in the morning. Then partly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Some thunderstorms may produce gusty winds and heavy rainfall in the afternoon. It'll be humid. On Wednesday the 12th, partly sunny, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, upper 80s. Thursday the 13th, hot with highs in the lower 90s, chance of showers and thunderstorms. Friday the 14th, same thing, lower 80s. And on Saturday, mostly sunny, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, 30%, and the lower 80s. Temperatures in our area, 71 in Raritan, 71 in Ringo, 68 in Kingwood, 68 in Pattonburg, 69 up in Highbridge, 73 in White House. Good morning, Hunterdon. That's Hunt Chamber Radio Weather.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Welcome back to Good Morning, Hunterdon, Hunchimer.com. I have my guest here. Her name is Hillary Wilcox, and she represents Kearson Farms in Hunterdon County. We're going to learn all about Kearson Farms for the purposes of Farrier Week, which up until about a month ago, I was confusing farrier with furrier. So I am one of those. I was telling you off air, Hillary, those city folks that live in the rural county. I'm one of the city folk. So welcome. Thanks for having come and being with me today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So tell me a little bit about Kearson. Where are you guys and what are you all about over there?
We're on Westwoods Church Road, right across the street from the YMCA in Deer Path Park.
Okay.
And we have training horses, riding lessons, camps, birthday parties, everything horse.
Everything horse.
And we start lessons for, you know, beginners. We start lessons at 3 years old, and we go all the way through. We have people who compete at a national and world level on their horses, so we cover it all.
Yeah, it just occurred to me that when you said you're near Deer Path, every Thursday there's something going on during the summer. And I know horses get spooked pretty easily. Have you guys because of your location, had to deal with that?
No, the concerts in the park and that kind of stuff, we can hear it from the barn, but it doesn't bother the horses much at all. It's not, you know, not too loud from where we are, and there's stuff going on there all the time, so the horses are pretty used to it.
All right, so they get accustomed to it.
Yeah.
So let's go back a little bit. You are Hillary Wilcox, and we called you to come on over here, but let's start from where you began. What have you always been in Hunterdon County, when was your love of horses come to bear?
No, I'm actually from Missouri originally. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri.
All right. How does a Missouri girl get to New Jersey? Because normally we're running to Missouri, not away from it.
I came for work. I started working at Kearson when it was owned by the previous owners and then have just stayed here.
Mm-hmm.
And then as far as horses, I started riding before I could sit up, actually. Horses are a family activity for my family. My grandma raises and breeds horses. She actually stands the number two sire of horses for our breed in the country. So I've just always been involved. And
could you say it again? Your grandma did what?
My grandmother breeds horses.
Yeah.
She has the number two rated sire in the country for our breed.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
How does something like that get... what's the
criteria
to, to be the number two sire?
Well, it's calculated by number of mares bred and then success of the offspring.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And for what purposes? Is it for thoroughbreds, for...
We actually at Kearson specialize in American Saddlebreds, Morgans, and Hackney Ponies, which are breeds of horses.
Right.
And my grandmother's stud is actually an American Saddlebred. So Saddlebreds are a pretty versatile breed. They do all sorts of different things. In our field of expertise, they're, you know, show horses, they're performance horses.
Okay.
But they also jump, and they can do dressage, and they can do all of the things that you normally think of when you think of a horse.
So from my understanding, your grandmother, who has the number two sire in the country, there are people that desire the potential of an American saddle horse for those types of activities, dressage or as you were
talking
about?
Most people want them for their qualities as a show horse. That's where they have the highest dollar value.
Where they're doing the... all the different barrel runs and jumps over fences? Is that
not exactly. Our horses are they're a little bit different. They're meant to be really bold and powerful and pretty, and their shows just exhibit those traits for them. So they don't jump. They don't do barrel races. They have specific movements that they have to do, and that's what they're judged on.
Okay. All right. So this is a whole world that I am completely unfamiliar with, as you're probably surmising right now. So your world of horses and dealing with American Saddlebred knows that your grandmother has the king at this point.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Very cool. So when did you deal with horses on the farm in Missouri?
Her farm's right across the river in Waterloo, Illinois, and I was out there like 3 and 4 days a week. I went every day after school. I worked for her in the summers and helped her do vet work, and I had horses there that were mine to ride and do whatever I wanted with.
Nice.
And then as I got older, I started showing horses for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's part of the breeding business, is you want to sell the offspring.
Sure.
So I rode horses for her. And then I went to college for equestrian sciences.
And where was that?
Stevens College in Columbia, Missouri.
Okay, so you weren't, I don't know how far that was from where you were, but...
It was about 2 hours. It's right outside of Jeff City.
That's convenient.
Which is the capital of Missouri. And it was pretty cool. So, and I got a degree in equestrian business management with a focus in training and instruction.
Mm-hmm.
And then worked for a couple of different people and then came to New Jersey.
And New Jersey just showed up on a post, and voila, you showed up.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Our industry is relatively small, and you know, it's like a big small town. We all know of each other, know about each other, so it was an opportunity that was presented to me, and so here I am.
All right. Were you ever in New Jersey prior to showing up here?
I was not.
Did you have any idea what you were going to be coming to see?
No.
I've only passed through Missouri. I think it was at Kansas City once or twice, but you know, it's a big state, but I know it's pretty open. New Jersey has its reputation. So did you have an idea of what you were going to experience here, and the fact that this part of New Jersey is completely different than where you probably flew into?
No, I've never been to New Jersey before I came. Before I moved here, I never even visited. Yeah. And everybody in Missouri was like, "Oh my God, you're going to move to New Jersey." I kept asking about the Sopranos.
There you go. Yeah, everybody asked about the Sopranos.
Yeah, this part of New Jersey is really wonderful and it's lovely, and this particular part of New Jersey is not too different from Missouri, really.
Don't tell anybody. I've been told that we have more horses in this part of the state than we do in all of Kentucky. Is that something that can be verified, or is that just somebody bragging?
Well, I'm sure it could be, but Kentucky claims to be the horse capital of the world.
Yep.
I think, actually, that's not even the country. But there are a lot of horses in Kentucky, but there are a lot of horses in this area of New Jersey as well. And the Olympic equestrian training center is here. We have a pretty thriving standard bred market as well, so it's a big...
So how long you've been here? When did you decide to make that trek?
2013.
Okay, so you've been here about four and a half years.
Yep.
What you just said about the equestrian center being here, and there's a lot of horse farms. Now I live right off of 523, and I drive past all these horse farms all the time. Just found out you guys are right around the corner over at Woodchurch Road. Why? What is conducive about New Jersey and this area in New Jersey that does that? Is it just everybody happened to settle in this area and moves from one plot of land to another? Or is there something more unique about this place than we're not familiar with?
You know, I think there's a good mix of different types of horses here. And I think that the East Coast is close to lots of different activities for all those types of horses. There's a lot of different shows and a lot of different opportunities that are relatively close to where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's when there's a community of people who participate in the horse community and the horse industry,
right,
it makes it easier for more people to come in.
Sure. Any idea as to why the Equestrian Center is here from the Olympics?
That I don't know. It has been here for a long time in some capacity.
Yeah.
And I do think part of that is that the hunter jumper community and the dressage community, which is what the Olympics, those are the equestrian events in the Olympics.
Okay.
Is big here.
Okay.
And there's a big percentage of riders that are in the area. So it's convenient that way.
So yeah, I guess I'm looking for the chicken and egg here. Was the equestrian center here first and everybody came around, or was there just a group of people that focused on the dressage and the hunter jumper community that made the Olympic Committee show say we got to be here instead of Colorado or something like that?
I think that the community was here first, and the United States Equestrian Federation, right, which is the governing body of our sport, it was where their offices were for a long time too. They're in Kentucky now, but the training facility is still here.
Cool. All right, we're talking with Hillary Wilcox. She represents Kearson Farms over there on Woodchurch Road is it Reddington?
Yes.
Yeah, in Reddington. And we're going to be right back and learn a little more about Kearson Farms, its history, and all the program services and how they take care of these great animals. We'll be right back. You're listening to Good Morning Hunting on HuntingChamber.com.
It's time to visit Pamby's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pamby's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pamby's, Purely Delicious. See, now all my flavors are
guaranteed to satisfy. Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
We are back. You're listening to Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntChamber.com. Hillary Wilcox is with me from Kearson Farms, and we're talking all about her farm and the Farrier's Week. So now we talked about Hillary and how Hillary decided... Amazing. I just find it fascinating how people pick up and move around the country and internationally. So I just get taken aback by the courage of that. So tell me about Kearson. How did you learn about it, and how did Kearson come into being?
So Kearson Farm has been eight years now where we are, and Mike and Jesse Richardson were the original owners of Kearson. Mm-hmm. They... were working at another barn in Frenchtown and decided they wanted to be out on their own. So they started Kearson, and they retired 2 years ago now. And Nikki and I, my business partner, bought the farm from them. We were both working for them. Nikki had been there kind of since the beginning, and I'd been there for two years when we bought the farm.
Wow.
Yeah.
And now you've learned from, obviously, Grandma back when you were on the farm over there, but... It's a different world when you're the trainer, and then all of a sudden you're the business partner.
Yes.
So
yeah.
What new things did you discover when you took on a new level of responsibility?
Just that there were so many little day in, day out stuff that you don't think about when it's not all your responsibility,
right?
But, that you have to think about when it does become your responsibility.
But you still get out, right? I mean, that's the big fear, right? As soon as you take on all that responsibility, you don't get to do what you originally planned to do.
Nikki and I both actually travel. We compete with our show and academy teams on a national and a local level, and at a world level we have riders who go to the World Championship Horse Show. So from March to November we're traveling to horse shows almost every other week, every 3 weeks. We do a lot of that.
This doesn't sound like it's a five-figure type gig. I mean, this sounds pretty expensive. So that's awesome that you two could put together a financing to achieve this and then go to this level. So you just kind of foreshadowed. What does Kearson Farm participate in terms of world level and national level?
So for show horses, we compete. Our national finals are in Kansas City, and the World Championship for our breed is in Louisville, Kentucky. We take a string of riders to both of those horse shows each year. We also compete all over the East Coast and down into the Carolinas all year long. Our show season runs from March to November.
Right.
Last year was the first year that we took the barn to the World Championships, with Nikki and I being the owners of the barn, and we actually had a rider who won her World's Grand Championship in the 8-and-under walk trot division, so that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So they compete all year long to qualify for their World Championships and National Championships.
Who was the rider?
Her name was Ava Kimmel.
Okay.
She's a wonderful kid. It was her last year in walk and trot, and
wow.
She did awesome. She top 10 at her national finals as well, and she's been doing awesome this year in her new division.
So, Hillary, was this in your plans? I mean, when you were with Grandma on the farm, were you really thinking, I need to own a horse farm with World Championships?
I think everybody who goes into the horse industry has like that dream that they can do that,
right?
That they can go and win World Championships in it, and that they can be a part of that. And you work for other people and you're a part of it and you really contribute to it, and it just doesn't always have the same impact as when it's
sure,
yours, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, it must have been exhilarating, no doubt.
That was awesome.
Well, with horses, I mean, with a horse farm, it's busy enough. But now with horses, who, from what I'm told, and you can put the wives' tale to bed or corroborate it, horses seem to catch everything. So how do we take care of horses to the level that you're taking care of? It's one thing to have horses. It's another thing to have horses altogether. It's a third thing to have horses flying all over the world. And then there's a fourth thing to have them have to compete at a high level. So what type of strategy do you guys put together that achieves that?
So our horses are treated like elite athletes because that's what they are. They're right. Competing on an elite level. So just like an elite athlete would have, you know, a chiropractor, we have a massage therapist that comes and works on the horses. We have our farrier who comes. He's actually from Massachusetts, so he comes every 2 weeks and – you know, looks at their feet and looks at where they are and helps us reevaluate what we want to do. Mm-hmm. We have a wonderful, we use Mid-Atlantic Equine, which is in Ringo's, and they're wonderful. They come in and help us make sure that, you know, everybody is exactly where they're supposed to be, that their supplements are right. The grain that you use comes into it. We have a really wonderful support staff. Our guys are awesome that help us take care of the horses. Mm-hmm. And it just all comes together that way.
You have charts on this? I mean, it sounds like it's very involved.
Yeah. There's, you know, a shoeing chart and a feed chart and a supplements chart. And, you have all of that.
Right.
We have over 60 horses on the property.
Holy cow. How big is the property?
About 20 acres.
Okay.
And, you know, 25 of those are lesson horses that we use in our lesson program to teach people to ride. And, mm-hmm. and the rest of them are in our academy program, more our show horses that are, you know, owned by clients and boarded with us and training with us. So we have quite a few horses to keep track of. It does take quite a bit of, you know, charts and making sure everything's in the right place.
Right. So how do you go about, is it a daily activity? Somebody's got to check on all 60 horses and get at least a thumbs up that everything's okay?
Yeah. So our horses that are in training with us are our show string. They work every day except for Sunday. They get Sundays off.
Well, God, that's so nice of you guys.
Yeah. They're, you know, I mean, just like elite athletes, they train 6 days a week, and then Sunday is their day of rest.
Uh-huh.
And so they, you know, they get fed twice a day. They're watered 3 and 4 times a day. You're constantly checking on them, making sure everything's okay, making sure that they're, you know, everything looks like it's supposed to look. And then mm-hmm. the lesson horses, we actually teach lessons 7 days a week, so we see them every day.
Wow. Okay. So you pretty much get a sense that everybody's okay.
Yep.
On it. Okay. From what I understand, Kirsten Farms, I remember looking at it from Deer Path. Behind you guys is it Round Valley or it's a mountain range? So is all of your property usable?
Well, so where our fence line ends, it starts like the state park land. And so I think some of it is actually still Deer Path, and then it goes into Round Valley.
Okay.
And they have hiking trails and riding trails back there. And so that part's maintained by the park.
Okay.
But all of our property is. And then it backs up to these awesome trails, which is really
so you,
cool.
Oh, so you get kind of an expansed as part of your gig, right?
You
get not only you get your property, but you get to use what's right next to you.
Yeah.
That's convenient.
Which is very cool.
Yeah, that's good. That's very convenient. All right, so you talked all about these great programs that are going on, but before we get to that, let's talk a little bit about farriers for just a minute. So, it didn't come to my understanding until recently that there is some debate as to whether a horse should be shoed or not shoed. Can you give me some insight as to why that is and what the reasons are?
I think that, you know, people look at it and they see it as altering, but to me, the shoeing is, again, if you're looking at an elite athlete, mm-hmm. some athletes need more support than others to participate in their sport. And, you know, the shoeing that we do, you know, personally is, of an orthopedic or an athletic value.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to say, you know, this horse has low heels, so doing this may correct that and make them more comfortable. And I think that's where shoeing's place is to help your horse be more comfortable and be more effective as an athlete. If your horse is, you know, totally comfortable without any help, then maybe they don't need help.
So it's the same reason I go out to buy a comfortable pair of sneakers.
Right, and you know, you may put Dr. Scholl's inserts in your sneakers because you need more support on one side than the other.
Is it still just a typical metal shoe, or is it has it gotten more technical than that now?
It depends on what you're shoeing for.
Right.
You know, if you're shoeing strictly for the, you know, the protection of the foot, we have some horses that, that live outside and their feet are tender, so mm-hmm. they wear shoes to keep their, you know, just like you don't want to walk barefoot on rocks, they don't want to either. They may just wear a metal shoe. A horse that maybe needs a little bit more support and a little bit more help, they'll put a leather pad or a rubber pad between the shoe and the foot to mm-hmm. help support the foot. It just depends what that horse needs. And there is a whole science to it. Having a really good farrier is really important to being able to compete at any level, because your farrier can, you know, watch the way your horse moves and come up with what would be best for them. And it may be some combination of things, or, you know, creating a shoe that's round instead of a horseshoe shape. Just depends on what your horse needs.
Now, I did a little search out there for farriers. Mm-hmm. I came across a couple of websites, and there's tons of them out there.
Yeah.
But you obviously, it's just like finding a doctor. You need to find the right person. How did you come across somebody up in Massachusetts that has to come down from Massachusetts every 2 weeks?
Well, so our original farrier's name is Chuck Rutenberg, and he's actually local, and he was ready to retire. Uh-huh. He had torn his rotator cuff, so he couldn't really shoe anymore, and he was getting a little older, and shoeing is physically really hard. If you've never tried it, you have to like be able to hold up the horse and move with it and do what you're trying to do.
Wait, you're holding up the horse?
Well, so when they shoe a horse, right, they pick up one foot, and the horse leans its weight on you. So you're holding up its foot, it's leaning its weight on you, and you're trying to do this work.
Uh-huh.
So it is physically a really hard job. And Chuck had a couple of people that he knew really well, that some of them had apprenticed under him, and some of them were just other farriers he knew in the community that shoed saddlebreds and Morgans. And so he recommended our farrier's name's Colin Kimple, recommended Colin to us, and Colin started coming down from Massachusetts.
Now, your last statement implied that there's different shoeing for different activities.
That is true, yeah.
So can you give me a little bit of difference? I know you're not the farrier, but I'm sure you've read enough about this.
So each breed of horse or each discipline of horse has a different job. You know, a horse that runs barrels mm-hmm. is going to move differently than a horse that jumps, is going to move differently than a horse that does dressage, is going to move differently than a, you know, show horse, a performance horse.
Right.
So a lot of farriers specialize in more or less one area of that. They get really good at making one horse work right.
Okay. And wow, here you think that, you know, you hang the horseshoe on your wall for good luck, and you said, oh, there must be all the same. And now you're telling me there's a huge science to this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there a science, or is this particular industry still at a experience level of that particular person has that gift?
I think it's a little bit of both. You know, a good farrier understands the way horses move and the science of the angles of the horse's body, and there is a science behind that. Some of it is experience. You watch it long enough, you participate in long enough, you know how that's going to work. And the farrier industry, in my experience anyway, like our farrier went to farrier school. There's a farrier school.
Where's that?
There's multiples. And and then they apprentice under somebody who is, you know, really proficient in the area that they want to be in. So it's a little bit of both. There's a science and there's an experience level that, that create that.
Neat. Wow. It's, again, a complete industry I'm just not aware of at all. So just amazing to learn all this. All right, let's get to Kirsten Farm. So you took it over a couple years ago, and at the time, did it have all the activities that you just described a little while ago, or have you added to them?
It did. Most of the activities that we had started, some of them started when the farm started, and some of them started as, you know, Nikki and I came in and talked with the previous owners about what we wanted to do. And we offer lessons, birthday parties, camps. We do corporate events, actually. We've done quite a few of those now. And then we do, you know, obviously the show horses and the boarding and training. And I think the programs have expanded in the past 2 years. Our lesson program has definitely grown, and so we've just expanded on the programs we already had. Right.
Now, typically, you know, I don't know if every girl and occasionally some boys, they have this dream of the horse. We've seen it numerous times. So they go to the birthday party over at Kirsten Farms, and it's a great hit. And then all of a sudden, or somebody goes to a corporate event and says, "I want to bring my daughter or son." What is the umbrella progress that you take from person who just wants to start out being part of a horse world and then gets up to, as you said, was it Ava?
Ava,
how she was successful. What is that like?
So Ava came out of our lesson program. She and her sister Lana both ride. I think they were both like 2 and 3 when they started riding with us.
And the age of 2 and 3.
For a long time.
Wow.
Ava's not, they're 9 and 10 now. So they've been riding for a long time. Mm. And so they started in the lesson program. They actually came, we offer free introductory lessons. So they came and did a free introductory lesson and tried it, and they really liked it. Mm-hmm. So they started taking tiny tot lessons, which is our, from 3 to 6, we offer these tiny tot lessons. And they started there, and then they ended up joining our academy team, which is our first level of our competition team. And they showed, and they were pretty successful, and then they bought their first horse, and they were pretty successful there, and it just kept going.
So is it their progress based on age or based on the experience and the level of growth in their skills?
For them, it was the level of growth in their skills, and it's really, as far as horses are concerned, you know, in our groups and everything, it's not an age-based system. It is an experience-based system.
Okay.
You get to a certain level of experience and you're ready for the next step. Some people get there faster than others, but yeah, it's an experience thing.
Do they get there because of time spent or because of some affinity?
A little bit of both. I guess it's a little bit like any other sport. You might not be the best swimmer in the world, but if you practice more than anybody else, you'll be able to be successful. Mm. That's how horses are too. If you don't have a natural affinity, you just have to put more saddle time in.
Oh, okay.
Some people do, and
some people don't. What does it take for somebody like Ava to be at the level that she accomplished?
Ava rides 3 to 4 times a week.
For how long?
She does 2 lessons with her sister that are 30 to 45 minutes, depending on what they're working on. And then she does a pattern group. That's another 30 to 45 minutes. They do lunge lessons. That's they're 15-minute, like almost like yoga and horseback strength training exercises.
Mm-hmm.
She does 1 or 2 of those a week, and then she rides her show horses, which is, 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, depends on what we're working on. Right. So she rides quite a bit.
Yeah. That sounds like a pretty big investment on their part.
Yeah.
What is the typical for the casual hobby?
So most people ride or start off riding once a week.
Okay.
We do our lessons in 6-week semesters. So you buy a 6-week package and you come once a week and do, either your tiny tot or your private or your group lesson. Mm-hmm. And then as people's interest grows, the times per week they ride usually changes a little bit.
And what's the goal of the lessons? And does that correlate all the time to the dream and expectations of the customer?
So the purpose of the lessons for most people when they start is that they like horses, or okay, their child has an interest in horses. They like to learn about horses or look at horses or pet horses, or that's usually what gets most people there. They took a pony ride and their kid talks about horses all the time now.
Mm.
And
yeah,
which is awesome.
Yes, it is. It's great
but,
business.
So they come and they start that way, and then usually what happens is we do these little fun shows at the barn that we also do as open houses, and people try that for the first time, and the kids like getting to be a part of all the horse show activity and get to hang out with the other kids and mm-hmm. be a part of what the older kids are doing, and that usually starts, though, maybe I want to ride more, or maybe I have this idea that I want to be able to go to a horse show or that kind of thing.
Right.
Most people just start because they want to be around horses and they like them.
Now, the shows, do they start as simple as simply a show that's taking place at Kirsten?
Yeah. Our fun shows are at Kirsten. We do 2 or 3 of them a year, depending on the year.
Mm-hmm.
And we do them as the kids show in the morning, and we do a potluck in the afternoon. It's really, you know, fun and low-key, and we try to play games in the afternoon. It's a good time. And then we have kids that show on a local level, the American Saddlebred Horse Association of New Jersey, which is a local organization, puts on 2 or 3 tournaments a year in Alexandria Township at the equestrian center there. Mm-hmm. And everybody brings their, you know, lesson kids and their academy kids and whatever. Everybody has an opportunity to show. It's only, you know, 15 minutes down the road.
Right.
And that's usually where it starts, is those 2 activities that are really close to home.
And then they progress at larger and larger geographic areas, right? So then...
Some people do, and some people never do. Some people stay right there. Some people compete at a local level. You know, we do show on a circuit that's, you know, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, a little bit of New York, kind of closer range stuff. And some people go all over the country.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the world of prize fighting, you pick and choose the contests and the particular events for the sake of confidence of the prize fighter and the success of the prize fighter. Is something like that go on as well?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, when you first start showing and riding, there's a certain events that you show in, and you show in them because that's what is offered for your ability level.
Correct.
And as you grow and progress and get to the point where you're either going to maybe lease or buy a horse, you're going to go to that next level, then you pick a horse that fits what that rider's best at and the division that rider's best at. Because it is, you know, like prize fighting or other sports, there's different categories that you can fall into and different judging expectations in those categories.
Okay. Now, as a student starts to get more serious and they start getting into the purchase of a horse and all that, Kirsten gets, and you and Nikki get involved in that with the client?
So when we go to buy a horse for somebody, we sit down with the customer and the family that's involved and come up with, you know, the criteria of what we think they would be good at, what we think that they're looking for, and a budget, and then we start looking, and the rider comes and tries some different things, and we go from there.
Yeah. And when they eventually do purchase it, I imagine that they're boarded at Kirsten as well?
Yeah. Our clients, we work with them, so that's where the horse goes. But
right.
Yeah.
And then what about, they have to buy all the equipment to get it from here to Alexandria and here to New York and here to Florida?
No. Okay. We trailer all the horses.
You trailer? Okay.
Yeah, we do it.
All right, so you're taking them all over the place. And
yep.
And so now it takes me to this next. So getting back to the care of horses, it's got to be amazing to take a horse overseas. What type of preparation goes into something like that?
So I've never done that. Okay.
Anywhere. I mean, just even nationally.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, on a national level, you want to make sure, especially in the summer, that they're really hydrated. And that is part of when horses fly, they have special, each horse has its own thing it likes to drink. You know, they talk about it with race horses and Olympic horses too, like electrolytes in their water, or Gatorade in their water or whatever.
I'm amazed we're talking about a horse. I mean, but it's great that you guys, you know, that horses are treated to that level.
And they get, you know, sometimes they need different supplements in the days leading up to it to make sure that they're all, you know, gastrointestinally organized, because it can be stressful and that kind of thing. And then we try to ship horses when it's coolest out. So most of the time in the summer, you know, we'll leave the farm at 10 o'clock at night so that the horses ship through the night to get where they're going, because it's most comfortable for them.
Right.
It's easiest traffic-wise, you know, that kind of stuff.
And then I've heard this with cattle. I don't know if it's as big a different a situation with horses, but if you're flying multiple cattle, you have to worry about the temperature of the plane, because the cattle actually boost the temperature inside. Is that something that you guys worry about or think about? Not as many.
Well, when you're shipping them in the truck or in the, you know, the trailer,
right,
that's a little different, because you know, some, like when you see the big horse transport vans that are like semis, those are climate controlled on the inside. When you see just a regular horse trailer, those aren't. Mm-hmm. So it has to do with, you know, what windows you have open or how you right, manage the right, airflow. When horses are flying, yeah, I would imagine it's the same as cattle, because like where the horses are in the barn stays 10, 12 degrees warmer in the winter. So it definitely, their body heat does create
amazing
warmth.
I mean, we're talking with Hillary Wilcox, and she is co-owner of Kirsten Farms over there on Woodchurch Road in Reddington. And we're learning all about the world of horse training and horse farms. So we're going to be right back. We're talking with her, and we'll find out a little bit more about plans, future plans, and what's upcoming in the next couple of weeks. We'll talk to you right. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
We're back. You're listening to Good Morning Hunter and HunterShimmer.com. Hillary Wilcox is with me, and she is the co-owner of Kearson Farms in Reddington Township, and we're just talking off the air, Hillary, about you and Nikki. Do you get a chance? I always ask this to people, especially when a big event happens in their life. Do you get a chance to just sit back for just a second and marvel at the fact that you own, that you're doing this type of work and that you own a farm that's doing this type of activity?
Yeah, my porch overlooks the barn, and so every night when I'm done at work, yeah, I just stand there and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. It's an amazing place to be in my life, an amazing opportunity, and yeah, it's awesome.
That's great. It just sounds so great. It sounds like it's a wonderful endeavor that I'm sure. I don't know if you thought about that back when you were working for your grandma, but it just sounds like it's a perfect fit for you and how you going about, you know, living life and enjoying it at the same time. Kind of work and play goes together, huh?
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm really lucky that I have an opportunity that my job is also, you know, the thing that I'm most passionate about and was my hobby and
right.
Just, you know, everything.
In the short time that you've been doing this, at least as an owner, but certainly as a trainer and all your own competitiveness as well, what would you take right now as your most pleasant moment?
Well, probably last year at at Louisville at our World Championship Horse Show when it was the first year that we had gone where Nikki and I own the barn, and to be so successful and to have Ava be so successful and to get to be a part of bringing all of these kids, you know, to these horse shows and helping them be successful. I think that's really what it is. It's taking these kids who come for their first lesson and you start them and you see them start from the beginning and they go on to be successful and it's something that they can enjoy for the rest of their life. That's definitely.
With Ava performing at that level and you getting that notoriety, have you guys stepped up another level in terms of more folks coming to knock on your door to be part of your organization?
I think so. And, the way we bring riders through our program, that kind of thing makes kids excited. They like to see that, and they like, I could be like Ava one day. So I do think it helps with that part of it. And we have pictures on the wall when you come in and all the kids ask about her. And so I do think it that way. Yes. I do think it has.
Neat. So what's on the plans now? What's your vision? You guys have only been doing this for a couple of years and all of a sudden some great success is happening, but if you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards. So what do you guys got on the docket?
Well, we're continuing trying to, grow our lesson program and our camp programs. And we have lots of kids coming up through our academy program that are moving on to the show program now and just continuing to show and to expand the numbers we take everywhere and just try and keep going.
Do you guys hit a limit with the number of horses you have? And is there a waiting list, so to speak?
The limit is based on the number of stalls that we have.
Okay.
And no, right now we don't have a waiting list, but
that would be cool. Awesome.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Awesome for you, not so awesome for the people who want to get in.
Yeah, that's true.
But so right now you're not at capacity and haven't hit. Okay. How many people work on the farm? You and Nikki just don't do this on your own.
No, Nikki and myself, we have three awesome guys who help us take care of the horses. Our assistant trainer's name is Freddie, and then we have Carlos and Raul who help us take care of the horses.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have three other instructors, Jordan, Madison, and Emily, that help teach our beginner lessons, and Jordan teaches some of our intermediate lessons in our step-up camp.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is there a progression in your life as you run your business now that you're providing a progression to those people? You know, kind of similar to you growing up and working on grandma's farm?
I see that with Jordan. Jordan started with Mike and Jesse. She's been riding with them for a long time. She's kind of coming out of our program as a student and into our program as an instructor. And, I think it is really what she's passionate about, and it's really cool to be able to offer that opportunity to somebody that's coming up with our industry.
Neat. All right, so now let's take people through a couple of some of the calendar of 2017. Yeah. What do you have coming up?
So we do 10 weeks of summer camp. We're in the middle of that right now, and we enroll all through summer camp. So that's our big thing we've got going on right now.
Could somebody be enrolled now?
Yes, they absolutely
could. Give us some details on that.
So we do a beginner summer camp. It's called Happy Trails Camp. They ride for an hour a day and do horse activities all day and farm activities. They do we have like a vegetable garden the kids tend to. They do nature walks through the park system. It's really cool. Kids love it. They do a horse show on Friday for their parents to show them what they learned. To sign up for camp, you just have to stop by or call the barn, and we'll help you get all of it organized.
Okay. And what's the phone number?
The phone number for the barn is 908-528-3307.
Now, some places I've seen have indoor facilities. Do you have that? Or
yes, two outdoor rings and one indoor ring.
Wow, 20 acres. You guys have a lot of stuff over there.
Yeah.
Was all that part of the purchase, or it made some enhancements?
It's all part of it. The barn is zoning wise at capacity for buildings, so everything that's there was there, and that's all that can be there.
Cool. All right, so we had the camp going on during the summer. Mm-hmm. So then what happens?
Then we have the fun show in September, which we also use as an open house. So where is the 17th? But we have the fun show, and it's open to everyone. You don't even have to call. You can come by any time. And we have an open-door policy with visitors, so anybody's welcome to stop by anytime.
Mm-hmm.
And then we schedule free introductory lessons 6 days a week, every day except for Saturday.
And what are your typical hours? Nikki and Hillary need some downtime at some point, right?
For lessons, Monday through Friday, we teach lessons private lessons from 2 to 4:30 and then do groups from 5 to 8.
All right, so there's a different budget possibilities here, right?
Yes,
so you could get involved in a group lesson first to see if your daughter or son are really enthralled with this or just going through the motions.
Yeah, so most people start with a free introductory lesson, and to schedule that, you just need to call the barn. You don't need any special equipment. You don't need any of that. It's a one-on-one lesson with you and an instructor. And then for our young riders, we start with tiny tot lessons. Mm-hmm. They're $270 for a semester of 6. And those are, one-on-one. They're 20 minutes of riding and 10 minutes of brushing and grooming.
Okay.
And then we offer private lessons. Those are half an hour of riding. They're $420 for a semester of 6. Usually, most adults like those. Mm-hmm. And, people who are getting a little more serious. And then we offer group lessons. They're $330 for a semester of 6. And it's 45 minutes of riding and then 15 minutes of caring for your horse afterwards.
Neat. Oh, so, and pretty much anybody can come, right?
Anybody can come. We do from 3 up, any experience level, mm-hmm. and we do riding lessons and driving lessons.
Okay, and I've heard getting involved in horses has also got a therapeutic value to it, and I know there are some places that specialize in that heavily, but do you guys dabble in that at all, or is it?
We do. When I was in high school, I did all of my service hours with a therapeutic riding facility, so it's something that's really important to me. I actually chair the therapeutic class committee for our brood organization, so it is something that's really important to me. And we do. We have quite a few riders right now who started off as riding in a therapeutic capacity and now ride, pretty regularly, and a couple of them even compete on a local level. And yes, we do. It's a case-by-case situation. Obviously, we're not a certified therapeutic riding facility. So the most extreme therapeutic situations we usually can't handle, but kind of your borderline, we definitely do.
All right. I think we've covered everything. Let's give out some contact information, websites. How do people find out more about Kirsten and Hillary and Nikki in the barn?
So our website is www.horsecrazy123.com, and all of our information is on there. There's contact forms and everything. Our email is kirstenfarm@me.com,
mm-hmm.
and then our phone number is 908-528-3307.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
It's a very sad thing. We're going to pay our respects and to see the police who have done really a fantastic job in a very short time.
President Trump talking to reporters before heading out for Las Vegas to talk to first responders and victims of Sunday night's concert massacre. Police in Vegas still looking for a motive after 64-year-old hotel shooter Stephen Paddock fired down on the concert goers, killing at least 58 people, wounding more than 500. President Trump also talking about Puerto Rico, saying that hurricane relief for the country could also include easing the island's crushing financial debt. The U.S. territory filed bankruptcy in May because of $73 billion in debt. President Trump said Puerto Rico owes a lot of money to Wall Street and that, quote, we will have to wipe that out. And Secretary of State Rex Tillerson dismissing a report from NBC that he considered leaving his post. USA Radio News.
Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. With a call to National Tax Helpline, you can stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, call now for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now.